Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Dr. Michael Blaha, Director of Clinical Research for the Johns Hopkins Ciccarelli Center for Prevention of Heart Disease.
And I'm Mikhail Kosibara, cardiologist and professor of medicine at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute in Kansas City.
And our topic today is GLP-1 receptor agonists, a new class of drugs, very exciting. Lots of cardiometabolic benefit, including weight loss, some blood pressure lowering, decreased inflammation, of course, glucose lowering. And now we're going to talk about the new clinical trials out in this field that point to the cardiovascular safety or benefit of these drugs in high-risk patients. So getting right into it, let's talk about ELIXA, the first trial in this class to be reported.
So ELIXA was the first trial, as you mentioned, and very much awaited trial for GLP-1 receptor agonists. Now, the specific compounds that was tested in ELIXA was lixazenatide, which is a relatively short-acting and one could argue perhaps somewhat less potent GLP-1 receptor agonist. And the trial was designed as a classic cardiovascular safety trial. Mm-hmm. The patients that were enrolled in the trial were patients that were short left and acute coronary syndrome, so very high-risk patients.
Right.
And because they were very high-risk patients, the events were accrued quite quickly.
That's right.
And so the trial had a relatively short duration follow-up of about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the findings were neutrality, superimposable Kaplan-Meier curves between lixazenatide and placebo, showing that the drug was clearly safe in the post-ACS patient population,
right,
but did not provide any additional cardiovascular benefit.
Right, but it's still important for the field, right? Of course, the FDA had mandated doing these safety
Absolutely.
Studies, and this showed without any shred of doubt that this drug was not harming patients in the cardiovascular
arena. And frankly, one could argue that we have relatively few glucose-lowering agents that were specifically tested in post-ACS patients.
Right, that's
I
true.
Mean, we, you know, frankly, you know, as far as clinical utility, we see patients with acute coronary syndromes that get diagnosed with diabetes in the hospital.
Right.
I mean, they didn't even know they had it, right?
I mean,
it's not an uncommon scenario.
Yeah.
And there is very much a paucity of data of which agents are at least safe in
the
patient population.
Very important to show safety there, yeah. So let's get on to the leader. That's liraglutide, an unbelievable study, right, in the sense that it showed benefit that maybe even exceeded our expectations. So not only safety, but benefit. That's what we'll get into. So tell me more about leader.
So LIDAR is really a landmark study when it comes to GLP-1 receptor agonists as a class. A very large, long-term follow-up population of patients, majority of whom had established cardiovascular disease, even though there was a proportion of patients that did not. And they were randomized to liraglutide or placebo with the primary outcome, as typically is in cardiovascular
right.
safety trials, of three-point MACE, which
yeah.
is time to first event of non-fatal MI, non-fatal stroke, or cardiovascular death. And for the primary endpoint, liraglutide was shown to be not inferior, but also superior to placebo with a statistically significant reduction in that primary outcome of major adverse cardiac events, which was, of course, incredibly exciting. It was the first compound in the class to demonstrate that. However, it didn't end there. In fact, if you look at all of the components of the composite outcome, and in particular, what I would argue is the most important cardiovascular outcome, which is CV death.
Yes.
There was a significant reduction in
right.
that as well, with a highly significant p-value in favor of liraglutide over placebo. And again, real game changer when it comes to this class.
Yeah, I agree. It also went in front of the FDA, right, for a label consideration for cardiovascular disease. Right?
Yeah, and in fact, in the summer of this year, for the second time in history, with the first being empagliflozin in a different class as GLT-2 inhibitors, but now first GLP-1 receptor agonist to get an FDA indication, not just for lowering hemoglobin A1C or blood glucose, but in fact for reducing major adverse cardiac events in people with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease.
So two classes of drugs that are now labeled for cardiovascular risk reduction. It's really a game changer in the field, right?
And absolutely. And again, if you look at the FDA indication language, it states that it's indicated for reducing cardiovascular risk of major adverse cardiovascular events in people with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease, but doesn't say anything about hemoglobin A1C because, again, if in fact this analysis from LIDAR trial were subsequently presented showing that the benefits with liraglutide versus placebo were not in any way modified or dependent on either baseline hemoglobin A1C or change in A1C during the trial.
Yeah.
So we're looking at what's likely to be non-glycemic mediated benefits of this compound.
Yeah, which makes sense with the weight loss that you see and the inflammation and so forth. Now, another drug in this class, semaglutide, right? This is a weekly injection. This was studied in the Sustain 6 program, right?
Yeah,
tell me what that showed.
Yeah, so that was presented last year, and Semaglutide is, of course, a very potent, long-acting GLP-1 array that, as you said, is once weekly, rather than liraglutide, that's once daily. Right. And the trial specifically, you know, to be fair, was a trial that was designed to fulfill the regulatory requirement from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, but it was powered to exclude a 95% confidence interval limit of 1.8. Mm-hmm. Was actually not powered for superiority,
right.
But in fact, what it showed was that semaglutide right. was superior,
right.
Statistically significantly superior to placebo for the primary outcome of major adverse mm-hmm. cardiac events. And in fact, for some of the components of the composite endpoint of MACE, specifically stroke,
right.
there was an independent mm-hmm. benefit as well. Now, the trial was a short duration trial, again, was a smaller trial, not as large as LEADER, not powered for overall superiority. But within those constraints, there was no death benefit that was seen. But again, if you look at LEADER and when the curves start to diverge for mortality, it really takes somewhere between 12 to 18 months to start separation
right.
of, see separation of curves. This trial really had only about a 2-year duration of follow-up.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what may happen with these potent once-weekly GLP-1 arrays once you can follow patients for a longer period
right.
of time.
And before we get into side effects, let's cover one more, the EXCEL study. This was looking at a weekly exenatide injection. Once again, tell me about kind of what the listener here needs to know about the kind of the difference between non-inferiority and superiority, especially in this context.
So EXCEL was a bit different from the other GLP-1 array trials, and probably the best trial to compare EXCEL to would be LEADER, mm-hmm. Because both were long-term trials looking
right.
at potent GLP-1 arrays. Of course, liraglutide was once daily and in a LEADER trial, and then in EXCEL, we're talking about exenatide once weekly. It was more of a pragmatic trial. It had some pragmatic features into it, embedded into it. These kind of pragmatic features may not necessarily have to do much with the differences in the outcomes that were seen in the trial, but they certainly could have contributed.
Mm-hmm.
For the primary outcome of major adverse cardiac events, the hazard ratio for once-weekly exenatide was 0.91,
mm-hmm.
and it did not quite reach statistical significance. Numerically favored once-weekly exenatide over the placebo, but nominally p-value was not
right.
significant at
0.06. For superiority.
For
yeah.
superiority. Clearly demonstrated
clearly
safety.
Non-inferior.
Yeah, clearly demonstrated safety, but for as far as the benefit and superiority is concerned, didn't quite make it.
Right.
Just missed with a p-value of 0.06. However, if you look at some of the other outcomes,
mm-hmm.
And again, this is not from for regulatory purposes, but more kind of a clinical purposes,
right.
you know, and you look at a very important outcome of all-cause death, there was, in fact, a significant
right.
benefit with a
yeah.
p-value of 0.02. And if you really put the LEADER data and the EXCEL data right next to one another,
mm-hmm.
I would argue what you see is more similarities
right.
than differences.
That was the impression I got, too. So, to be fair, we need to talk about side effects, although certainly no safety signals, but side effects in some patients. Tell me about gastrointestinal side effects or retinopathy or what else we saw in this set of trials.
Well, GLP-1 receptor agonists as a class certainly are known to increase the risk of some tolerability signals,
right.
some side effects, I guess you could call it, which include nausea and vomiting.
Right.
So
gastric emptying, right?
Yes, exactly, and satiety. And, you know, that was universally seen
yep.
with all of these
agents. Probably
related
to the weight loss.
It related to weight loss and not unexpected.
Right, exactly.
There was, of course, as you recall, when this agent started being tested in large trials, there was a concern about pancreatitis and pancreatic cancer. And I think, bottom line message is there is really no there
yes.
right now when
yeah.
it comes to either pancreatitis or pancreatic cancer. There is not much not much of a concern that has emerged from these trials in regards to these potential safety issues. Now, with sustained SIG, there was a signal towards increased risk of retinopathy, proliferative retinopathy progression with semaglutide versus placebo. And I think what's fair to say is that in absolute terms, the risk is relatively small,
right.
but in relative terms, it's clearly there. And the people who had proliferative retinopathy at baseline were clearly at greater
yes.
absolute risk.
Right, and they already had early stages already, of course.
So that's important to keep in mind. And it's unclear at this point whether this is because of very rapid and aggressive right. reduction in hemoglobin A1c, because it's a compound that's extremely
right.
potent.
Right, and we've seen that in other A1c lowering.
There is some data from type 1 diabetes trials right. suggesting that intensive glucose control early on may potentially, in some ways,
I think in the long-term follow-up with the DCCT.
From DCCT, seen, right? exactly. We saw yeah. that signal early on, but then if you look at long-term follow-up, clearly the retinopathy yeah. risk is better
right.
or lower with more intensive control. So it's an evolving story, but I think, again, in absolute terms,
yeah.
The risk is relatively small, and the people who are at greatest absolute risk in general are those that have proliferative retinopathy at baseline. Overall, however, I think if you really look at it as a class,
yes.
it appears to be reasonably well tolerated. The safety, I mean, there are certain safety and tolerability issues everybody needs to be aware of, but I think another important story that's emerging from a cardiologist standpoint mm-hmm. is that there clearly appear to be some features of the class, and again, that doesn't mean that every compound is exactly the same, but there are some features associated right. with the class that appear to provide potentially potent cardiovascular right. protective properties.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. This is as a class is emerging as a perhaps consistent, reliable reduction in cardiovascular endpoints that are meaningful to us as to cardiologists, and something that cardiologists need to be aware of and clearly be a part of future guidelines. Now, if you want to learn more about these drugs or other therapies coming on the market, go to acc.org. We can hear our discussion of these other topics as well. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the ACC CardiaCast, your latest education from the American College of Cardiology. Go to acc.org to find this and other additional resources related to today's show.